Hello, and welcome to this episode of Passionate About People. My name is Phil Dave. I am a broadcaster who works primarily in men's mental health and well-being, and also the subject of technology.
Hi, my name is Graham Godfrey. I'm a life and business mindset coach. My company is Passionate About Business, and I like to coach CEOs, owners of businesses, and I veer towards the music industry. And Phil, I have my own radio show on Second City Radio, Nobby's Feel Good Radio Show, spreading the feel-good factor and positivity across the UK.
I don't know why you didn't mention it before, Graham, really. Okay, now, the idea behind this episode is we've called it the Startup Masterclass. And I'm very pleased to say that we have the Startup Master amongst us, because joining us, Sarah Devan, who is going to tell us all about the world of startups. Now, Sarah, I'm going to be very presumptuous here, and I'm going to say that some people probably don't know exactly what the term startup actually means. They may have a rough idea, but let's assume they don't. With that in mind, how do you describe a startup?
What I would consider to be a startup can really be anything. It can be an idea that needs taking to market. It's an idea that you would want to bring to reality. And then along the way, there are different stages that, you know, we could work together on to really bring that idea to life and take it to market.
Give us an insight into your background as to how you got into the world of startups. How did you start up starting up, so to speak?
Well, I started many years ago. I have a background in working commercially in media across magazines and many newspapers. And then I was actually approached by the Daily Mail Group and Metro to start an accelerator for them. So basically, I had a blank page and I had to look at the business as a whole and work out what areas the business could move forwards in terms of like starting new brands, how we were going to do that and how we were going to take new businesses to market. But we started actually, this was many years ago. This is just when Dragon's Den was launching. And we did our own version of Dragon's Den, which we called Venture Candy. And we had many early stage businesses come in and we took them to market and we did some fantastic things with them, helped them to get into retail stores, help their products, you know, to become digital, et cetera, whatever those products needed at the time. And yeah, it was a really interesting time. So that's how my journey actually started, was really corporate venturing, which is a great way for some businesses to actually start up as well.
Do you find that, I mean, I've coached a few startups, and obviously I coach when they get to that stage where they need to accelerate and get to the next level. What do you find the problems that a lot of entrepreneurs have? So they get the idea and where do they go from there? What is there like a process that you would take somebody through?
Yeah, there is a process. And, you know, very often what happens is that people think they need to have this finished product that's already in market. And the challenge around that and why it's a problem is because very often people start something and they have an idea about who their customer is. And really, you have no idea about who that customer is. And what they want, you really have no idea about who they are. And for that reason, you know, it comes back really to how do you validate that product and how can you get it to market without spending a ton of money over here? How do we get that market and what stages do we look at? So I'd say, you know, one of the very first stages is to start to look at what I call product validation in market, which some people would call minimum viable products in terms of startups. What we would do around that stage is look at how we could validate that idea as quickly as possible, which could mean, you know, that you've started a Facebook page, that you've got some kind of traction, but you've managed to get somebody to actually say that they want your idea. And that person may not be the person that you thought actually wants it. It may not, you know, you might have an idea about who that person is. So very often what I find is people get very attached to an idea. So they've decided what their business is without actually looking at the market and without the market fitting your product rather than your product fitting the market.
I cannot tell you how many times over the years I have stumbled across, even working in the world of radio, individuals who come up with an idea that they are so hell-bent on that they say, that's it, that's definitely the one for me, I'm going to pursue this no matter what. And when they say no matter what, they mean no matter what, even if they chuck a ton of money at it and it flops left, right and centre and doesn't do a thing for them, they still stand by it. I don't understand how people with that kind of attitude don't realise that that is not, and just for the record, this is not my specialist subject, but even an idiot like me knows this, it's not the way to get a product or an idea off the ground. There's got to be an element of flexibility. There's got to be an element of taking expertise from different people who know what they're talking about before you can even think of turning your idea into fruition and to a success.
I think you can make so many mistakes. I mean, the mistakes are good. Sarah, we'll talk about the mistakes and the failures you need to make to find out where you need to get to. But it's not really about spending a lot of money initially. So you're suggesting do a bit of test trading, see if the idea works, see if you get the results that you think you're going to get. But what would you say are the sort of principles? I know you talk about agile principles. What are the things that people would need, they would need to say, think about when they've got this idea, that process?
I think it's really about having an open mindset and, yes, understanding what we call agile startup principles, which are really, if I break that down, which is, you know, to think really lean. How can you start that idea with zero? You know, what can you do to make the idea work today? Because there are so many resources available now that we didn't have access to before. You can create your own website. You know, there's lots of things that you can actually do. It's also to keep learning, because if you're not learning, you can't grow and develop. To be open, to keep refining that product or business, and to really find out who that market fit is by doing those things and iterating, and to keep moving, you know, to keep moving forwards. But I think it's also very important, you know, a lot of people get hung up, like, you know, you just previously said, Phil, on the idea. And it's more important to get going. It's really more important to get going and to, you know, like Graham just mentioned about that kind of failing fast. You know, how do you move from that just to keep the momentum going? Because the idea may change from your original idea into something completely different that you could be really surprised about.
I mean, Sarah, you and I, we've had lots of conversations about this because we find all this stuff quite exciting. And what we find is that somebody comes up with an idea, they get going, they get a few rejections, or the people they know might say, oh, I don't think it's a particularly good idea. And then their mindset becomes affected. They start thinking, well, maybe it isn't particularly good, or how far is it going to go? So obviously, I talk to them about their mindset and what they need to be thinking about to keep the business going. I think some of the things we've said is that someone starts a business, they sort of want to know, what are the main steps to get going? And how will I know that I'm there when I get there? So I know you work on your own, but you have other resources, don't you? You can bring people in and create sort of that structure when it gets to the next level.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons that I started up myself, was because I saw a lot of people, you know, out there being sold different things, and really their products never making it to market. And they've spent a fortune on, for example, app development, £100,000, £200,000, and they don't have a finished product because they don't know the right questions to ask. So you could either go to people who do know the right questions to ask, or you could work with someone to help you find out what those questions are so that you're more empowered as well to be able to go to market. And I really enjoy that, actually. What I enjoy about that is when you empower somebody to do that, they're actually learning more and they're creating more of their own vision as well along the way, because it's not my startup, you know, it's theirs, but I'm just trying to help them. So in whatever resources they may need along the way, whether it be, you know, product validation and looking at how you commercialize that product, you know, things around marketing, strategy, operations. And very often people fall down on the tech side, especially with a lot of app developments now. They fall down on the technology side and they don't know where to go for that. So I think it's really important to have a good set of people around you who can help mentor you as well and, you know, who are prepared to kind of be in it, to pay it forward, you know, especially in the short term, whilst you work out, you know, what that is. And what I also find is that people are prepared to help. So not to be afraid to ask, because that's one thing that we do. I think, especially, you know, being British, we, you know, we're not sure, we really like to ask and we're a little bit afraid of it. But you know what? If you're not asking, someone else out there is asking. And it's just having that confidence to just take that step and just, you know, ask. So very often it's the ask and it's the questions you ask, and it's being empowered to know what those questions are as well.
How do you know, though, who the right people are to ask said questions? Because if it were down to me, let's just say that I was deciding right here, right now, I'm going to create a startup. I'm just going to do something for the heck of it because I've always wanted to. I wouldn't have a clue where to turn first. I wouldn't know who to speak to. I wouldn't know who was telling me what was best for my business, what was not such a good idea, but I didn't realize it because they think it's a good idea. It's a bit bamboozling, really.
So there are some great communities that you can join. And I think depending on what stage you are, if, you know, you're coming out of school or, you know, you're at that kind of level, it may be interesting to join a proper accelerator where you're going to get a lot of mentors around you. I think if you've had one or two businesses under your belt, you know, it may just be a question of looking at how you think, you know, are there any really relevant partners that you can see an immediate fit with? And what is it that's missing out of your skill set? What is the skill that you would need to complement yours? So, I mean, I know enough about technology, but my skill is not, I'm not a CTO. So I often work with people in that sense that know more about a product roadmap and what that would look like in terms of development. So I think we don't need to know everything, but we need to identify what that skill is that's missing. Because very often in a founding team, I find a lot of the founders actually have the same skill sets, or they say they've already earmarked themselves for CEO and they're not a CEO. They're not, their skill set doesn't lend themselves to that. So I think you have to also be agile in the way you think about it. So, you know, what is it that's going to help the business? Because it's really about, I think, you know, the big thing that I've learned is it's about the business. So if you put the business first and not yourself first, then I think you have more chance of succeeding.
And just assuming that some people don't know what CTO is, that's Chief Technology Officer, right?
It is, yes. Yeah. And they're very in demand and there's very few of them as well.
I have to tell you, Phil is the CTO of this podcast.
I've been promoted.
I mean, I'm lucky. I consider myself to be very lucky because over the years, I've built up a trusted network. So people that I've done business with, sort of in the main, I'd say nice people to speak to and to be around. And Sarah is part of my trusted network. So for instance, when I'm coaching somebody, I go, well, what do I do here and where do I go there? Obviously, because I'm coaching them, I open up my trusted network and people, there's all sorts of different people in, from all sorts of different areas that can help in business. So I'm delighted to have you on because I've wanted to have this conversation openly for a long time. Plus, Sarah's a real live wire. So if you ever get a chance to meet her, all the questions that you, or most of the questions that you've got about starting a business, she'll always know somebody or someone that you, that she can help. But I wanted, there's a couple of things I just wanted to run through, which I think might be important for the listener. First of all, the confidence of the individual. We know you've mentioned that it's not them, it's the entity. Everyone's working for the entity. That's what's the most important thing. It's not about people's personalities. Just briefly, can you give us some tips on how to go to market?
Let me give you a real life example. So last week I had two very young budding entrepreneurs contact me through LinkedIn and asked if they could have a conversation. They haven't got many connections on LinkedIn, but this is what they're doing. They're trying to create their trusted network. So they've come to me and actually they've nearly got the finished product. So what I've done is I've stripped it right back and I've set them some tasks to do, which are, you know, they didn't have a Facebook page, so they have had no interaction. They haven't looked at putting a story out about themselves to talk about what they're doing. They already had friends and family in the product that they wanted to launch, but they hadn't contacted them. So now they're going to contact them. They didn't know what specific questions to ask around this app launch. Now they do. And now I've empowered them with some information that they can start asking the right questions with. And so it's a two-sided marketplace. And by that, I mean, there's the customer and there's the, well, actually, you know, it was a party app. And one side is the customer and one side is the nightclub. And how do you bring those two sides together? So go off and create your customer list and try and engage with customers in as free a way as possible as you can. And Facebook is fantastic for this, trying to validate your product that way and trying to get engagement and see whether people are interested in it and to get feedback. So you could just do a simple survey. It's as simple as that. And on the side of contacting who you want to work with, that would just be a question in terms of this, of contacting them, calling them, good old-fashioned calling, and finding out whether they'd be interested and do they have any actual advice. So that would be the first stage. And then once that gets validated and it gets taken to market, we'll try and get people interested in that product to show a potential investor at seed stage. So that could be friends and family, an angel investor, or even somebody in a bigger investor fund. We'll try and see whether there was a fit or whether somebody, for example, in the music industry might be interested in just taking that mentoring and helping and investing in it themselves. So we're then moving it on a stage to get the actual product out there. And then there's different things along the way with different sets of funding, et cetera. But also, you know, we've been working with getting a considered marketing strategy out there. Again, not so much about the money, but how can we look at organic marketing and how can we get the word out there? And what are the things that we can do to kind of, you know, get you a bit more visible in market? So that would be, you know, a very simple example of taking something, you know, today or an idea and working out how we could, you know, do it. But you can even these days look at, you know, creating your own mock-up apps online. You can look at just creating those screens and taking them to somebody, especially friends and family, because a lot of investors will actually want to see that you've raised money and that people do buy into your product. And who's likely to buy into your product more and really believe in it? I mean, sometimes it can be a great thing, you know, if your friends and family do invest. And on the flip side, it can sometimes be, you know, a really not so great thing, especially when things don't work out. You know, I think that's a decision, you know, to be really looked at a bit more in depth.
And what you say there all makes sense, absolutely. But I just wonder whether or not there is ever a danger of overanalyzing something, because that's kind of the point I was making before about the number of questions there are to ask. How do you know what the right questions are and the wrong ones are? And more importantly, is there some sort of danger of saying, actually, well, hang on, that's pointless, don't need to worry about that, and just, as it were, sweat the small stuff unintentionally?
You know, I think that's a great point. I think people also, they get paralyzed by this. They overthink everything. And there are a lot of questions to ask, that is true. But actually, the real secret to this is speed. So don't overthink it. Just go and find out along the way. That's really the best piece of advice. So you'll figure it out along the way, because once your mind's in it, you're already thinking, you know, how to make this work and what's going on. And if you don't know, find someone that knows. Find somebody that you can just ask that question to.
And I think, I mean, that's a valid point. And I mean, in the lot of coaching that I do with startups and entrepreneurs that need to move ahead, and Sarah and I do a bit together, have conversations. Don't email everyone and message everyone. Actually pick up the phone, have a conversation, and build a relationship. All of these businesses, however techie they are, they're all built on human interaction at some level and having a strong relationship with somebody at some level. And that could be your partners, that could be your customers, that could be your funders. We need to have a conversation. And the second thing I picked up from today also is, you mentioned fail fast. You need to find out what doesn't work as quickly as possible. And I've spoken about this on other podcasts. If you can find out what doesn't work for you and your product, you'll know what does. If you don't know what does, then it may not be a good product or service. And you need to, I think what you're saying is, you need to find out that as quickly as possible so you don't blow too much money. Because at some point, you might have to say, this just isn't going to work. How do you help people get to that point where they have to say, I think it's over?
You know, that's a really tough conversation, because recently I've seen quite a few decks that are looking for investment, and delivering that kind of no-nonsense advice really on whether you think it will or won't work based on where they are is always a really difficult conversation, because by that point that person is so emotionally attached. And what has normally happened to me is I normally get brought in actually at the stage of where a company has been through two or three major challenges, and I get brought in and there's normally a reason. You see, I think I can save the day, but actually I can't. So I've stopped trying to do this now. I can't. So sometimes there just is no fit. But by that point, they're so attached, it almost becomes like a gambling thing, that they've invested so much that they'll keep on and keep on. And they've heard someone say somewhere, never give up. There is a point where it makes sense to actually either change or stop, you know, because most people actually run out of money or, you know, something else kind of happens. But I mean, by that stage, it's, you know, that person's often suffering burnout and lots of other things. So we have to look after ourselves. You know, I know you've done another podcast about resilience, which I thought was really brilliant, actually.
Well, then that sort of goes back to what you were saying earlier on, Graham, about the mistakes and failures that you need to make along the way. It's almost you need another pair of eyes to tell you where, okay, time's up now, really, don't go any further. Because you hear all of these stories about the number of entrepreneurs out there, such as Richard Dyson and all of these individuals out there who all turned around and said, no, I'm going to make this happen. And of course they have. And they made a lot of failures along the way. Simon Cowell is another great example, who's openly said, you know, at one stage he was down to, I think it was his last fiver he was famously down to. Can you imagine that now? That Simon Cowell was down to his last fiver. And yet, look at the success of the business that he's gone into. It does sometimes take, though, a different pair of eyes just to say, actually, that's it now.
When you're in business, obviously, you need to focus on what you're doing and you want to make it a success. But there needs to be a little bit that you leave for yourself and think to yourself, OK, if this particular idea doesn't work in the form that it's been created, there might be something else. There might be a spin-off to this. So from all these failures that I've made, you might spot something else that actually is the success, is the opportunity within this failure. So sometimes by giving up, you're not really giving up. You're just allowing your idea to evolve possibly into something else. And that might be the nugget. And I think a lot of these people, Dyson and all these people that have been very successful, they've been open to allow their idea to evolve. And then they've found the bit that has made them incredibly successful.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Graham. Absolutely spot on.
And also, I might throw in as well what's really important, because I think of this as like producing a radio program. Forgive me, it's just my line of work. But I think of it like producing a radio program where, yes, it is perfectly possible to do it by yourself. But it makes it so much easier if you have other members of a team around you who are able to assume their individual responsibilities and you bring it all together. And that's what makes a great program. There's a reason why at the end of a really good film, the credits go on and on and on and on. It's because not one person alone did that film. Loads of people played their part. And that's the whole point. Rome might not have been built in a day, but it sure as heck wasn't built by one person.
I totally agree. And there's nothing better. And I've been working for over 30 years. And I'm not going to say I did it by myself, because I didn't. I had lots of people to help me. Just as when someone's given an award, you see the Grammys, or you see one of these award shows, they don't get up and say, thank you very much, I did it all myself, and sit down. They have a list of people that they've turned around and said, thank you very much. When you watch Roger Federer, when he wins the tennis tournament, he doesn't just walk into a changing room and say, I did it all myself. He turns around to the box, he looks at his trainer, he looks at his physio, he looks at his family, and he gives them a big smile. So businesses today and entrepreneurs today, I feel, and Sarah, get a good team around you. Get some support, and it feels good when there is a good team around you. And I suppose that's why we do these podcasts, Phil, for that very reason.
Oh, what a way to end it, though. Might I suggest, if you've been working 30 years, you really might want to get some sleep at some stage. Okay, that's sadly all we've got time for this episode of Passionate About People, but it has been a treat. So thank you very much indeed to our guest, Sarah Devan. And Sarah, if people do want to find out more about you or they want to find you, where do they go?
They can come and visit my glorious website. So Sarah, or email me. It's called arrival.tech. And my email is sarah@arrival.tech. Any advice that anybody needs, you know, feel free to just contact me.
And I've got a little test, actually. You can obviously email me, gg@passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk. I get lots of messages on these podcasts. I have a Twitter account that's Godfrey_Graham. And I only have 6 followers. So if you'd like to contact me on that, you'll be most welcome. See what happens there.
I've just checked. Actually, I've just checked, Graham. It's gone down to 5 now. So,
and if, I'll add you as a friend, yeah. Graham.
Oh, thank you.
And if for whatever ridiculous reason you wish to find me, you'll find me across social media at Mr. Phil Dave. It's been a real treat. Sarah Devan, thank you very much on behalf of Graham Godfrey and myself, Phil Dave.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Graham.